Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. The first 12 verses. This is God's word. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" he replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "At the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This is not a tremendously popular passage, but it's God's word. Mark, as you'll recall, is the shortest of the Gospels, and he doesn't start with the Christmas story. He doesn't give us a lot of intro. Mark moves from event to event to event to event in a very condensed version. It's almost the Cliff Notes Gospel. Now, it's all true, but there is a lot less detail in most of the stories that Mark tells than there is in the other Gospels. And that is true here. Matthew gives us more amplification of the things that were said, not just summary statements, and certainly a classic illustration of how brief this is in verse 10, when they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered. Mark doesn't even record their question. It's like, you don't even need to know what we said. Let us just tell you what he said. Okay? That's typical of Mark. And of course, as we've said before, one of Mark's favorite words is immediately. Because when he transitions from one event to the next, it's immediately, immediately, immediately. He is breathlessly moving us through these events, leading up to the event, and that is when Jesus paid the price that purchased our salvation. Everything is moving toward that in Mark's gospel. So in this, we have a condensed account of this exchange concerning the subject of marriage and divorce. But there are a number of details that are very, very, very important and instructive for us. First of all, verse 1, when Jesus went over to this location where his ministry had started, crowds came, and as was his custom, he taught them. Now think about that for a moment. As was his custom, he taught them. If you're going to spend time with Jesus, you're going to find him to be teaching. You don't just come and not learn anything unless you don't want to learn anything. There are some people who manage to spend years in church and seem to have learned very little. But if you hang out with Jesus and you're willing to learn, Jesus is always teaching, as was his custom. He taught them. Verse 2. Not everybody was there to learn. The Pharisees came not to be taught, but to test Jesus. There are many people today who are still not looking for truth, but rather looking for an excuse not to have to obey the truth. They're not looking as to whether or not Jesus can be trusted. They're looking for a reason not to trust Jesus, not to believe the Bible, not to have to do what God says.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The Pharisees were there to test. And their question was not whether divorce was permissible. Their question, though Mark condenses it, you can read Matthew's account and you get more detail. Their question was, under what circumstances is divorce permissible? Because that was the debate. There were those Pharisees who said it is only permissible in the case of sexual immorality. There were those who said, no, divorce is okay for any and every reason. A man has a right, if he finds somebody who's better looking than his first wife and he can get the second one to marry him, he can dump the first one and go for the second one. Anything that is indecent in his eyes, it could be she failed to cook the meal properly. She burned the dinner. I mean, those were actual cases in rabbinic law. There were Pharisees who really taught, it doesn't matter. I remember in the early 1970s being asked to sing at the wedding of the daughter of the head of the head of national missions for the PCUS. And I was asked if I would please be the soloist. And it was the first time I ever accepted money for singing. I didn't know these people, knew who he was. And I said, okay, I'll do it. I did it. And was horrified to hear him leading the service of his own daughter's wedding. And when he came to the vows, the words were not what I had always heard. Instead of saying, till death do us part, they vowed to stay together, quote, as long as our love shall last. I wanted to take back my solo. I mean, really? Here's a big denominational executive, and he's just wants his daughter to commit to this guy as long as they feel like it? That's not a wedding, that's a sham. But the Pharisees asked the question. And again, remember, they weren't looking for Jesus to tell them the truth so that they could go out and do the will of God. They were trying to get Jesus to take a stand on an issue that not only was divisive among the Jewish leaders, but it was also one that had gotten Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, beheaded. Because the reason that John was in prison and the reason that Herod's wife wanted him dead is because he kept saying that their marriage was not legit because she was married to Herod's brother before Herod took her and married her himself. And that cost John his life. So they're thinking one way or another, we're either going to get Jesus to take an unpopular view or we may get him in trouble with Herod. But this is a question that he's not going to want to answer. Jesus, as he often did, began his answer with a question to them. He said, what did Moses say about this? He appealed not to tradition, but to the scriptures. When Satan tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, well, not tried, when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus answered with scripture every time. Do you think maybe that should prove instructive for us as to where we need to go for answers? We need to know God's word. We need to speak God's word. We need to obey God's word. So Jesus sent them to the teaching of Scripture, and they focused on what Moses had said about regulating divorce. If you're going to get a divorce, this is how it's done. Okay, this is what you need to do in order to provide protection for the woman. This is what you have to do if you're getting a divorce. There has to be a certificate. It has to be clear that she is no longer under your authority. Jesus took them back further. He said, Moses said that because of your hardness of heart. But from the beginning, God created them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. See, they went back to the part of the scripture that gave them permission to do something. And they want to know, in what circumstances can we apply that? Jesus said, you've missed the point. Marriage isn't about divorce. Marriage is about oneness between a man and a woman. One of the favorite stories in my wife's family was about her when she was a preschooler. Always a helpful individual, my wife offered to make her father some toast. And her father said, do you know how to make toast? And she said, yes. And he said, how do you do it? She said, you take the piece of the bread, you put it in the toaster, you push the button down, and when it comes out, you take it over to the trash can and you scrape the burned part. This is what, she was 3 years old. I said she was a preschooler. 3 years old. And that was what she had seen. And so she thought, that's the way it's done. It's not the way you're supposed to make toast. That's what you do if the toast gets burned. Now, why are you telling that story? Is that just an amusing sideline? No. Because so many people, when they look at marriage, think in terms of all the broken relationships they've seen, and that's their model. That's the way they think it's supposed to be. Okay, this is what you do. You get a certificate of divorce, and then you can move on. Jesus is saying, that's not the picture of marriage. God's design is one man, one woman, committed for life. The certificate of divorce business, that's what happens if the toast gets burned. So much to learn in Jesus' response. I mean, you would think we could just pass over this, but in this culture today, we cannot pass over it. There's a creator. Jesus says so. At the beginning of creation, God made them. You are not an accident. You are not the chance result of eons of change. No. God designed us. He planned us. He made us. Human life, including your life, is His creation. We need to know that. God created them, according to Jesus, male and female. Oh, what about all the others? Just male and female. Well, Pastor Red, I don't want to seem contentious, but I hope that you are either aware or willing to learn about the fact that sometimes people are born with ambiguous biology, let's just say. Okay? Yeah, I'm aware of that. I'm also aware that my son, who was definitely born male, was born with spina bifida. But that's not normal. You understand? And if we start listing as normal all the possible variations that came as a result of the fall, we're going to have a completely skewed understanding of what the plan is. We're back at the trash can scraping off the burned part on the toast and thinking that's normal. That's the way it's done. That's what I've seen. No. God's design from the beginning was male and female. And we need to remember that. That doesn't mean we are uncharitable toward people. I don't think less of my son because he's paraplegic. I don't think that that's normal. But I don't think less of him because he has a biological problem. But we don't turn away from what God says about what we are supposed to do, whatever our biology may be. God's design is explicitly and repeatedly made clear in Scripture. So, marriage is a covenant for life. But then in verses 10 and 11, you have a private conversation that follows between Jesus and his disciples. If you want to read the expanded version, you can read it in Matthew. But here, what Jesus makes clear is that divorce and remarriage is really in the category of adultery. Wow. Really? Oh, yeah. This gets more complicated. There's more we could go into, but that's not what the Holy Spirit inspired Mark to focus on. Oh, boy, Pastor, you're saying some things that are really, it makes me uncomfortable. Well, let's see if I can help you a little bit. Look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. You have heard, this is Jesus speaking, you have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Well, so how does this help? Well, go up in the chapter prior to Jesus saying these things. Look at verse 20. Jesus has just said, I didn't come to do away with the law, that's verse 17, but to fulfill it. Verse 20, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. I got to do better than those professionals? What Jesus does is not to make God's standard lower. What Jesus does is to make God's standard higher than the Pharisees realized. In fact, Jesus makes it clear that the only hope for us is perfection. Be perfect, therefore, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. I've already messed up. Glad you know that. Later in chapter 10 of Mark, Jesus is going to be confronting the rich young ruler who comes to him and says, hey, you know, when it comes to keeping the law, I mean, I've done that, okay? Ever since I was a youth, I have fully kept the law. He did not know where he'd fallen short, but he had, just like you have and just like I have. What we need is a Savior. What we need is not to polish up our righteousness, it is to receive his righteousness. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags in God's sight. Matthew 7, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, and didn't we do this, and didn't we do this? He says, I'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. I don't want that to happen to me. Then don't trust in your righteousness. Don't trust yourself for salvation. Don't think that you're going to work your way in. Read the book of Galatians. The Galatians thought, I got this. I need to be circumcised in order to be acceptable to God. I'll do it. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, don't you dare. Why? Circumcision's bad? Circumcision's nothing. But if you're doing it to try and earn salvation, you're cut off from Christ. That's a surgery you don't want, to be cut off from Christ. The only hope for anybody in any generation is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you're saying it doesn't matter what we do? No, I'm saying you've already messed up. Cry out to Jesus. Repent of your sins and trust in him. He came to save sinners. That's why we can go to heaven. He is the way. He's the way. And he came for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and following. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's the gospel. He saved us. We didn't save ourselves. We didn't find the key and do the hopscotch down the aisle so that we could be received. We trust Jesus, who alone can save. I've got to ask you, are you trusting in him? Do you know that he's your only hope and that he's all you need? You can't earn it. You can't work your way into heaven. But if you come to him, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the kind of person he receives.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.